Chapter 6
"What are you trying to say, Father?"
Aliona asked.
"I'm saying my time as ruler is at an end," Rodion repeated. "The power that is needed to hold the breach closed is wearing me quite thin, my dear. I'm afraid I cannot continue on like this."
Are you dying?"
My wife began to sob. "No," Rodion retorted in an instant. And then he weakly stood to his feet and wrapped his arms around his daughter. "I would never leave you like that, my dear. I am simply saying I cannot continue to hold the breach closed while also acting as King of Rama. So I am ceding the duties of the less important role. You and Evan are the next in line, and it is now your time. We can have you both crowned as early as the day after tomorrow."
"The day after tomorrow?" I gulped. That's really soon, King Rodion."
"The sooner the better," he sighed. "Every second I am trying to pull double duty is a second I'm growing weaker. If something is not done soon, then I fear I will either perish or the seal around the breach will not be strong enough to hold the Demon King back."
"Father, you have been the King of Rama for several centuries,"
Aliona noted.
"Evan and I thought we wouldn't need to take over as rulers until you... well, until you perished."
"If you do not take over in the near future," Rodion warned, "that day might be coming sooner than you think."
"This is a major honor, King Rodion," I interjected. "Are you sure of this?"
"Ma King," Castor interjected, "Ma suggest we find you more enchanted items. That seemed to get you back in good spirits the last time you were this weak."
"All the enchanted coins or gemstones in Rama wouldn't be enough to save me this time," the king chuckled wearily. "This is a decision I have thought on for quite some time, and it is one I feel needs to be made. The time of my reign is at its sunset, my friends. It will soon be time for Evan of Hatra to take my place with my beloved daughter by his side. And I know that together you will save not only Rama, but all of Anati."
My head started to spin as the gravity of this situation began to weigh on me. I knew I was poised to take over for King Rodion someday, but I always figured that would be far into the future, after we'd closed the breach permanently, and the threat of the Demon King and the Miasma was long gone. Now, he wanted me to take over his kingly duties starting the day after tomorrow, all while I was still trying to figure out our next move. It was too much, even for me.
Of course I accept," I said as I shook my head in disbelief. "But I'm ashamed to admit this is all coming at a... kind of a bad time."
"On the contrary," King Rodion argued. "Now is the perfect time, Evan. Rama and its surrounding countries need a strong leader right now, in this time of crisis. I have tried to be that for as long as I possibly could. But my abilities now pale in comparison to yours. If you take up the crown as the King of Rama, the people of this country will look to you for inspiration. And once the breach is permanently sealed, they will see you as the great leader I've always known you could be."
"I don't know what to say, King Rodion," I said, as I tried to keep from hyperventilating with excitement. "I've always appreciated the respect you've shown me, and your belief in my leadership abilities, but this is something else."
"It is fantastic news,"
Sky declared as her dark sapphire lips twisted into a smile.
"My son, King of Rama," Xoclan added with a proud smirk. "There will be time for a celebration," Rodion noted before his expression turned glum. "But this is more than just a great honor, Evan. Becoming the King of Rama is a responsibility that can easily weigh on a man's soul, particularly in horrid times like these, when you see your people suffering as a result."
"I won't let the people suffer anymore," I promised. "I'm going to defeat the Demon King and lead Rama into a new era of peace, even if it kills me in the process."
"Spoken like a true king, brother,"
Nike proclaimed as he patted my shoulder.
"Does this mean I will get to take over as the leader of Hatra in your absence?"
"You're from Lady," I chuckled. "I think it would make more sense for somebody from Hatra to lead, wouldn't it?"
Unless you wish to relocate the capital to Hatra,
Nakoma suggested.
Then you wouldn't have to leave at all.
You're all getting way ahead of yourselves, I said. We still need to get through the coronation ceremony first. And after all the crazy shit that's happened in the last few weeks, I wouldn't expect it to go smoothly. Plus, there's the breach. If I really am going to become king, I'm not going to mess around with any of the bureaucratic shit until that's taken care of.
Understandable, Rodion nodded. Though we must do the coronation as soon as we possibly can. Castor, would you please be so kind as to return to the valley and bring back our cart? I don't think I am well enough to make the journey on foot, nor do I have any extra magic to spare to create a portal.
Don't worry about that, Father,
Aliona said.
I'll portal him back.
My wife bowed her head, and then she instantly began to whisper her portal spell under her breath. Soon a massive white portal of glowing magical energy appeared before us, and Aliona looked over to Castor.
I shall return soon, Mocking,
Castor promised as he shuffled over to the portal and then disappeared through it with a flash of light.
Thank you, my dear. Rodion smiled at Aliona. Now, if you will excuse me, I think it is best if I retire to my chambers before I expend too much more of my energy. I shall see you all the day after tomorrow, when I arrive in Hatra for the coronation.
It's happening in Hatra? I asked.
The coronation always occurs in the home city of the new king, Rodion explained. It is a symbolic gesture. Now, if you don't mind, I shall bid you farewell.
Get some rest, King Rodion, I said to the man as he turned and began to head in the direction of the temple doors. We will see you then.
Is there anything we need to prepare?
Nike questioned. But the king just shook his head.
Just yourselves, Rodion said with a playful smirk
as he looked back over his shoulder. And then the doors of the White Jade Temple creaked open, and he hobbled inside. The second Rodion was out of sight, Aliona broke down into a fit of tears. The princess buried her face in her hands as she sobbed and whimpered, and I instantly ran over and pulled her close.
I've never seen my father this weak before, Evan,
my wife sobbed.
I'm afraid he might not make it much longer.
That's why I'm accepting his offer, I murmured as I stroked her white hair. Even if I'm not quite sure the timing is right, or if I'm actually worthy of the title quite yet. I can't stand to see your father like that, and I especially can't stand to see you this upset about it all.
I just hope he's right,
Aliona sighed as she looked up at me with her tear-filled amethyst eyes.
I hope that by us taking over his royal duties, he can focus all of his attention on keeping the breach sealed.
All the power in the world won't help Rodion if the Demon King keeps gaining power, Xoclan reminded us. What the king is doing right now is just a band-aid. No offense, princess.
I don't know what a band-aid is,
my wife admitted.
Is that one of your earth terms?
He's saying what your father's doing is only a temporary solution, I explained. And he's right. None of this matters if we can't get the breach closed permanently. The only question now is how the fuck do we do that? I supposedly have all this new power. Dad? How do I close the breach?
It's not a simple answer, I'm afraid.
Xoclan sighed as he ran his hand over his buzz cut.
I had a list of items I was searching for across the dimensions, all of which were allegedly demon repellents or items that could banish demons back to their homes. Okay, Nike mused. So which one of them closes the breach?
That's what I'm saying, my father continued. I don't know.
All of the items I was searching for were meant to purge the demons from this world, not seal off their gateway. There might have been something on the list that could help. But I lost it a while ago, in one weird dimension where everything looked like it was a fungus.
You don't have a copy?
Nokomis asked.
How did you know what you were looking for during your interdimensional travels?
I had a copy back at my old Dracha temple, Xoclan sighed. Perhaps it's still there?
I'll do you one better, Father, I smiled. Your original list is back in Hatra right now. Raheel reached out to your old temple and they sent us your journal.
Oh, thank heavens, Xoclan said with a huff. I really didn't want to go back there. I didn't exactly leave on the best of terms.
I can call upon the other sorcerers when we get back to Hatra,
Aliona offered as she wiped away the remnants of her tears.
Perhaps if we spend another one of our legendary nights going through the archives together, with your list in hand, we'll be able to find something.
I'm always down for an all-nighter, I chuckled and cracked my knuckles. I did plenty of those back in EMT school.
Not you, my love.
Aliona shook her head.
You need to rest and clear your mind. You've just gotten a large surge of power, and your coronation is in a day. Naomi, Caltrice, and I will search for the solution, along with Zoclan, of course.
Me? My father pointed to himself and chuckled. I'm afraid my ancient Ramian is a bit rusty after being away for so long.
But you do understand it,
Aliona noted.
And you will know the list of items in your journal more intimately than anyone else. It would be a great help if you joined us.
All right, all right. Zoclan held up his hands. I'll burn the midnight oil along with you. Surely there will be something in those dusty old books and scrolls that can help. I want to come too, I said again. As the future king of Rama, it would be unethical of me to just sit back and let my loyal harem and father do my dirty work.
On the contrary,
Aliona giggled.
That is exactly what a king would do.
Please, brother, Nike suggested. You have earned a rest after today's chaos.
I will certainly take your offer.
Imarla yawned and did a little stretch.
Getting possessed really takes it out of a woman.
Your room should be almost finished, I reminded the half-mermaid.
That sounds splendid, Lord Evan.
Imarla smiled as she fought back another yawn.
Though perhaps I should just continue to sleep in your room until it's completely finished. I wouldn't want to disturb the architects or laborers with the sound of my snoring.
Imarla had been sleeping in my room with me while her personal quarters were being built. And I knew for a fact she didn't snore. Then again, a beautiful woman was offering to sleep in my bed, and I wasn't about to deny her request. Take us back to Hatra, Aliona, I said to my wife. I don't want to stay this close to the breach any longer than I have to. Aliona conjured up a portal of white light, and we all stepped through it as we were transported through pocket dimensions, and then right onto the doorstep of the Lunar Palace.
Here you are, my love,
Aliona said with a faint smile.
Please try to get some rest. And, Imarla, try to let him get some rest as well.
Of course.
The pink-haired beauty winked. Are you sure you don't want me to come along? I asked one last time.
Rest, my lord.
Nokomis interjected as she placed her hand against my cheek.
I can sense you are quite exhausted and overstimulated. Right now, the best thing you can do to prepare for your coronation is to retire to your chambers. Aliona and the other sorceresses will handle the research.
And what about you? I raised an eyebrow at the snow leopard demi-human. Are you planning on taking a long nap, too?
Not a nap.
Nokomis shook her head.
I plan on getting into the ice water in my room and relaxing for a while. You really should try it sometime, as it helps immensely with the healing process after a long battle.
I don't need an ice bath, I chuckled. Healing powers, remember?
I'm going to go check on Isabella,
Sky noted.
She will surely want to catch up after everything that's happened.
That just leaves us, daughter-in-law, Zoclan mused, as he stepped to the side and held out his hand for Aliona to pass.
Lead the way to your archives. Aliona whispered her incantation once again, and a giant portal appeared before my two friends. They bade us all farewell, and then Zoclan and Aliona stepped through the magic circle and disappeared into thin air.
And then there was Nike. Nike chuckled to himself. I'm going to go get some sleep as well. After all, I did slay one of the demons.
Don't get too cocky, brother, I teased. I still beat you 7-1. My friends and I all walked into the Lunar Palace, and then we split off and went to our separate quarters. Imarla and I continued hand in hand, until finally we arrived at my room. I tossed open the door, let her slip inside, and then I shut the door behind me. Almost instantaneously, I took a running jump onto my beautiful bed with its silk sheets, flipped over, and leaned back against the pillow.
Are you really just going to sleep?
Imarla purred as she crawled onto the bed and then over to me.
It depends, I said with a wink. What were you intending to do?
Well, Remna wanted to say hello.
The half-mermaid giggled.
If that's okay.
Remna? I asked.
While you were talking to King Rodion and your friends.
Mariah's voice echoed through my brain.
I have shown my sister how to manifest herself into the world of the living, just as often as I do.
Before I could say anything else, the Sword of Shadows began to glow on Amarla's belt. And then the image of Remna projected itself into the room. The woman's long black hair now cascaded down the sides of her body and over her shoulders, where their frayed ends came to a halt halfway down her biceps. The white streak in Remna's hair remained straight down the middle, and her pasty white skin seemed to shimmer under the glow of my room's torchlight. Remna's red eyes were fixated on me as a smile twisted up her face, and I gulped when I realized she was completely naked. Remna's pale, thick nipples stood erect on her perky breasts, and her womanhood was on full display as she placed her hands on her thin hips and popped her body to the right. My mouth hit the floor when I saw the gorgeous woman's supple body, and I wanted nothing more than to have her join Amarla and I in bed. Then there was another flash of light, and the figure of Mariah appeared beside her sister. Her long white hair seemed to float in the sky behind her, and it created a stark contrast with Remna's dark locks. Mariah's robe was completely gone, which left her thick, round breasts and womanhood on full display. The spirit's curvy hips hung out over the sides of her body, and my cock twitched in my pants as I noticed her tender slit was already wet with arousal. "What's going on?" I asked. I could barely formulate a thought in my brain since all the blood in my body had gone down south, and I simply stared between the two beautiful naked spirits as they smiled at me.
"I told you I wanted to thank you for freeing me,"
Remna cooed.
"Mariah thought this would be the best way. I'll leave you three alone,"
Amarla said as she slid off the bed, hopped to her feet, and then began toward the door. However, Remna caught the half-mermaid in her grasp and turned her so they were facing each other.
"You can't go,"
Remna said.
I wanted to say sorry to you as well. May,
Amarla gasped, and a deep red blush filled her cheeks.
I've never been with a woman before. I don't even think I'd know what to do. Then don't do anything.
The dark-haired spirit purred as she rubbed Amarla's arm and looked up and down her body.
Mariah and I are perfectly capable of making this fun without your help.
Suddenly, Remna dropped down onto her knees. The woman had a slim, tiny build, though her ass was tight enough to bounce a quarter off of. My eyes wandered onto the spirit's cute ass as she got down and playfully slid her thumbs into Amarla's waistband. Then she pulled down the half-mermaid's pants to reveal her precious flower.
I don't know,
Amarla whispered as she bit her bottom lip.
I should just leave and let you take care of Lord Evan. I don't want to mess anything up. What do you think, Lord Evan?
Mariah asked as she stepped over to Amarla and softly grazed the half-mermaid's cheek with her hand.
Should Amarla leave?
Fuck no, I shook my head.
But I... Oh!
Amarla's protest turned into a long moan as Remna began to pleasure her with her tongue. My cock sprang to attention as the naked, dark-haired beauty traced the outline of Amarla's labia with her tongue, and then stopped every few seconds to circle her clit. Imarla's body seemed to tremble at Remna's touch, and her silver eyes rolled back in her head as she placed her hand in the spirit's hair. Then Mariah got in on the action. The beautiful white-haired woman placed one hand against Imarla's cheek before she pulled the half-mermaid in for a passionate kiss. And as their tongues intertwined, Mariah used her free hand to unfasten Imarla's blue top. The half-dwarf's perky thick breasts were released from their fabric prison as her top fell down to her waist, and then Remna used her hands to pull it away and throw it off to the side. Meanwhile, I was hard as a goddamn rock, and I was starting to worry my manhood would tear through my pants. I watched with pure glee as Remna ate out Amarla, all while Mariah fondled the pink-haired woman's breasts and nibbled on her lips. When Mariah began to softly kiss Amarla's neck, though, the half-dwarf let out a long whimper of pleasure.
That's so good,
Amarla gasped.
You're like a master with your tongue.
She's learned from the best.
Mariah winked before she bent down and started to suck on Amarla's erect nipple.
Evan?
The half-mermaid whimpered as she gripped Remna's hair and looked over at me with her silvery eyes.
You want me to join? I growled as I jumped off the bed.
You'd better,
Remna said as she looked back over her shoulder.
We aren't going to just let you sit around and watch.
Now the only question was, which one did I want first? As I tugged my shirt over my head and then tossed it off to the side, my eyes kept looking back and forth between Remna and Mariah. Mariah's thick ass jiggled as she fondled and sucked on Amarla's breasts, and I knew just how great her pussy felt wrapped around my cock. Then again, Remna was in a prime position. The spirit of the Sword of Shadows had her back arched as she licked Amarla, and I could see the swollen lips of her womanhood from behind. I slid my pants down past my ankles, took off my boots, and then moved in for the kill.
You first,
I whispered to Remna as I came up behind her and placed my hands on her waist.
I'm about to rock your fucking world.
I pressed the head of my dick up against her labia, which quivered and oozed a bit of her love out onto me as she let out a gasp. Then I gave Remna's tight ass a slap before I pushed my hips forward slowly and felt her tight tunnel wrap around me like a glove.
Fuck!
Remna whined as I pushed my way into her.
How do you handle this, Mariah?
With pleasure,
Mariah giggled.
You're at Lord Evan's mercy now, I'm afraid.
Mariah's eyes locked with mine as she bent down and traced Amarla's nipple with her tongue, which made the tight coil in my abdomen tighten up in an instant. Then the white-haired spirit gave Amarla's breast a soft nibble, and the half-mermaid's eyes rolled back in her head. I was about halfway into Remna when her pussy spasmed around me, and then a wave of pure ecstasy ricocheted through my very soul.
Oh, you're so damn tight, I moaned as I placed my left hand on the small of my lover's back. It's like you're squeezing every last drop out of me.
She'd better not,
Amarla said through a huff.
There needs to be enough left for both of us.
Then you'd better learn to share. I winked at the pink-haired woman, and then I pushed myself all the way into Remna.
Oh, Evan!
She moaned.
Fill me up with your dragon seed.
Maybe in a minute or two, I responded. Right now, I want to just take this all in.
There's a lot to take in,
Amarla whimpered before she reached out and placed a hand on each side of Remna's ass. While Mariah continued to fondle, suck, and nibble at her body, Amarla spread apart Remna's ass so I could see her sopping wet womanhood in all its glory. I watched her swollen lips as I began to slowly pull my cock out of her body, and I plunged it back in with a single hard pump. Remna gasped in response, but then she buried her face even deeper into Amarla.
Shit, that's good,
Amarla said as she bit her lip, and a blush crept into her chest.
Remna, you're making this so fucking...
Amarla's hands gripped Remna's ass so tightly that it turned white, and the pink-haired beauty let out a long moan as her eyes rolled back into her head, and her body trembled.
There you go,
Mariah teased as she gently fondled the woman's breasts.
I told you we'd do all the work.
Amarla panted and heaved as she came down from her orgasm. And then she turned to Mariah and stared longingly into her eyes. Before the spirit could say another word, Amarla pressed her lips against Mariah's, and they began to make out once more.
You're so deep inside me, Evan,
Remna sputtered as she looked back at me over her shoulder.
But you can go deeper.
I gave her exactly what she wanted. I grabbed onto Remna's hips, pulled my cock out, and then shoved it back into her with the force of a jackhammer. This time her ridges and valleys quivered as they slid over my manhood, and then I felt myself bottom out against her cervix. My balls tightened up into my body as I began to approach the mountaintop, and I didn't know how much longer I was going to be able to hold back. Amarla's hands reached up and started to fondle Mariah's breasts, and I saw Mariah's slip her fingers into the half-mermaid's warm, waiting mound. The sight of the two beautiful women enjoying each other, plus the sensation of Remna wrapped around my cock, pushed me even closer to the edge.
"You're so fucking hot," I growled as I slapped Remna's ass. "I can't wait to fill you with my seed and make you mine."
"Yes,"
Remna gasped.
"Please, Evan, pour your seed into me and make me.
The sound of Remna's pleasure echoed through the room as she arched her back, and her body went rigid. At the same time, the woman's tight pussy squeezed me with the intensity of a freaking blood pressure cuff, and I couldn't hold back any longer.
"I'm coming, Remna," I growled. "Fuck!"
My vision tunneled around my eyes as the world turned black for a moment, and the warm coil in my abdomen snapped. My cock erupted into the dark-haired woman's pussy like a fire hose in a cereal bowl, and all the muscles in my body felt like they were on pins and needles as I tried to stay on my feet. What felt like a gallon of cum sprayed out into Remna's womb, and she whimpered as I filled her with my seed. Even if she was just a spirit, she was my woman now. My vision returned to the beautiful sight of Remna's ass as it slowly pulled away from my dick, and then I saw a bit of my seed dribble out of her labia and down onto her inner thighs.
"Oh, no,"
Mariah giggled as she pulled away from Amarla.
"We can't let that go to waste."
Mariah instantly got down behind Remna, stuck out her tongue, and then lapped up my cum into her mouth. She didn't stop there, though, as the white-haired spirit started to trace her tongue around Remna's labia, which caused the spirit of the Sword of Shadows to tremble and moan.
"Oh, what are you doing, sister?"
Remna gasped.
"Don't worry about me,"
Mariah said as she continued her work. The sight of Mariah eating out Remna from behind caused the blood to instantly return to my cock, though I was only about at half-mast. However, Amarla seemed like she wanted to change that. The pink-haired woman stepped past the other two before she placed her slender hand against my chest and then leaned in close. Then Amarla pressed her supple lips up against mine, and our tongues began to explore each other's mouths as I pulled her body against me. Amarla's nipples were as hard as diamonds, so I took them between my thumbs and middle fingers as I gave them a soft tweak. Amarla moaned in response, so I kept at it. Soon I allowed my right hand to drag across her toned tummy and then down to the manicured slit between her legs. Amarla was still wet from her little excursion with Remna, so it didn't take much for me to slide two of my fingers inside of her.
Evan!
The pink-haired beauty gasped. "This is just the warm-up," I warned, as I started to kiss down Amarla's neck. "I want to get you nice and ready for the big finale." Amarla started to buck her hips into my hand. And as she did so, I rubbed her swollen clit with my thumb. She responded with a long, guttural groan, and I started to get a bit more creative with my finger movements. Soon I felt the half-dwarf's hand as it wrapped around my manhood, and she started to stroke me softly as we made out. My balls tightened as they prepared for round two, and my dick rose to meet Amarla's grasp. The beautiful woman rubbed my balls with one hand while she jerked me off with the other, all while I was still two fingers deep in her. Meanwhile, Remna and Mariah appeared ready to jump back in.
"Are you getting him ready?"
Mariah asked, as she and Remna walked over and began to rub their hands along Amarla's back. Then Mariah leaned forward and gently sucked on Amarla's neck, which caused the half-mermaid to moan with excitement.
"Oh, she's getting him ready for herself, sister,"
Remna teased.
"Look at her go. She wants that thing inside of her right now." "Then we should help her,"
Mariah said, as she slapped Amarla's ass hard.
"Great idea, Mariah,"
Remna purred.
"And I know just the thing to help."
Suddenly, the dark tendrils of magic that had been on Remna's back in the spiritual sea sprouted once again. This time, though, they weren't there to try and kill me. Instead, they wrapped themselves around Amarla's arms and waist and then slowly lifted her up into the air, where they then held her in place.
"What are you doing?"
Amarla gasped as her silver eyes widened and she let go of my cock.
"Getting you into position,"
Remna cooed, and then two more tendrils wrapped around Amarla's legs. The two tendrils pulled in opposite directions, which spread out Imarla and revealed her swollen, dripping womanhood in all its glory. I knew exactly what I needed to do. I moved forward, took Imarla's head in my hands, and then started to kiss her passionately. As I did so, I gently slid my dick between her lower lips, and we both practically melted into each other's arms as I entered her. Imarla's body quivered as she moaned against my lips, and the warm coil in my stomach started to tighten once more as her velvet tunnel spasmed around me. Mariah moved around so that she was right behind me, and then her hands caressed my bare bottom as she let out a coo. The spirit of the Sword of Healing pressed her hands against me as she helped guide me into Imarla, and I responded with a long, guttural groan.
"You're so damn wet," I whispered into Amarla's ear.
Once I felt myself bottom out inside of the woman's pussy, I forced myself to pull out of Imarla, and then I pushed myself about halfway back in. This time, Imarla gasped, and her tight tunnel gripped me like a vice as she whispered,
"Yes, Evan,"
the half-mermaid whined.
"That feels so good."
"It's only going to get better," I growled, and then I shoved myself back into her fully.
I repeated this rhythmic motion of pulling halfway out and then shoving myself back in slowly a few more times, all while Mariah's soft lips nibbled on my neck from behind. Imarla's perky breasts jiggled with each thrust I made, which only made me 10 times more excited to fuck her from this angle. Eventually, the pink-haired woman's moans grew more hurried and close together, and I figured she was about at her wit's end.
"Gods, Evan,"
Imarla moaned.
"You're splitting me in half."
"That's right," I whispered as I pumped into her once more. "And now I'm going to make you come again. Would you like that?"
Even though I already knew the answer, hearing it from Amarla's sensual voice was exactly what I wanted to hear.
Yes,
Imarla groaned as her mouth fell agape.
I'm gonna. Oh.
Imarla's eyes rolled back in her head as her pussy squeezed me like a tube of toothpaste. I felt her velvet tunnel spasm and quiver around my manhood, and then my own coil snapped. I let out a long, earth-shattering moan as I shoved my cock deep into the woman and unloaded my love into her fertile womb. My legs started to give out as the room spun around me. But thankfully, Mariah was there to hold me up as I painted the walls of Amarla's womb white. Our moans joined together in a chorus of carnal pleasure, which came to a crescendo when we started to come down from our highs. Finally, I slid my dick out of the pink-haired woman, and Remna set her back down on the ground.
"That was so hot,"
Remna purred as she glanced down at my manhood and licked her lips.
"But we're not done yet." "No?"
Imarla gasped, before she stumbled over the bed and plopped down.
I don't know if I can take any more." "It's Mariah's turn,"
the dark-haired beauty whispered.
"But I need to get Lord Evan back up before he can finish her, don't I?"
Remna grabbed my hand and led me over to the bed, and then she gave me a gentle push that allowed me to fall back onto my back. The second I was down, the woman appeared over me, and her dark hair framed her gorgeous face as she hovered over my cock. Remna licked her lips before she took my half-chub in her hands. And then she ran her tongue along each side of my shaft.
"Fuck,"
I gasped at the sheer sensitivity of my cock. When Remna started to circle my head with her tongue, though, that sensitivity turned into pure pleasure. The blood started to pump back into my cock, which slowly rose to meet the spirit.
"That's more like it,"
Remna purred before she lifted my dick and sucked softly on my balls. I let out a long moan as my eyes rolled back into my head, and I gripped the sheets of the bed. But then I looked over and saw Imarla smiling beside me. Without even thinking, I leaned over and started to make out with her again, which only made me grow harder. Remna's tongue traced my manhood a few more times before her lips pressed up against me. And then her warm, wet mouth engulfed me. I felt the warm coil in my stomach begin to tighten as Remna bobbed up and down on my cock, though she only went about 3/4 of the way down. She continued to rub my balls as she sucked me off, and it didn't take very long for me to get back to full mast.
"Wow,"
Mariah giggled.
You must be very good with your mouth, sister. I'm a natural,
Remna said with a sigh.
Now, are you going to ride him or not?
I pulled away from Amarla's kiss just in time to see Remna get back to her feet and Mariah climb up onto the bed. My heart hammered in my chest as the beautiful spirit spread apart her legs so she was straddling me. And then she slowly lowered her labia down against my cock. She was sopping wet already, and her full breasts jiggled as she moved.
Gods, this is going to be good,
Mariah whispered as she stared down at me. Then she lowered herself onto my erection, and my entire body was hit with a wave of carnal joy. Mariah's velvet tunnel was tight and wetter than a monsoon, and her juices dripped down onto my pelvis as she wrapped around me. The woman's large eyes widened as she opened her mouth and leaned back, and she got about halfway down before she started to ride me gently. As Mariah moved, her giant breasts bounced, and I knew this wasn't going to be a long lovemaking session.
Fuck, you're so hot,
I growled as I reached up and took a handful of her breast. I can't wait to fuck your brains out.
I think I'm the one doing that,
Mariah giggled, and she gently lowered herself down onto me fully. We both moaned as the head of my cock pressed up against her cervix, and then she gently pulled herself off and then went back down. Soon, Mariah made hard, rhythmic movements as she rode me raw, and the warm coil in my stomach felt like it was about to snap at any second. Meanwhile, Remna and Amarla were having a bit of fun themselves.
You're mine for now,
Remna growled as she climbed on top of Amarla.
And we are both Lord Evans. Yes,
Amarla sighed. The two naked women began to kiss as they rubbed each other's bodies, and soon their tongues were dancing in unison. Remna and Amarla both rolled around on the bed as Mariah continued to ride me, until finally I felt the white-haired woman on top of me slow down.
Oh, Evan!
Mariah purred as her mouth hung open.
This is so good. I'm Evan!
Mariah suddenly started to buck her hips against me as hard as she fucking could, all while her screams of joy rang out through the room. Her pussy tightened as her breasts bounced, and the coil in my stomach finally snapped. I took a handful of Mariah's curvy ass, and then I forced her all the way down onto me as I started to come. My manhood erupted like Mount Vesuvius, and Mariah whispered as she felt me explode deep inside her womb. My whole body tensed up, and my balls pulsated as they emptied their load into the woman on top of me. I got a bit lightheaded as I started to come down from my orgasm, and then the next thing I knew, Mariah collapsed onto my chest.
Have I mentioned I'm happy you can manifest yourself?
I chuckled as I ran my fingers through her white locks.
And that you taught Remna?
I'm happy you taught Remna too,
Amarla giggled. I looked over and saw the two beautiful women were in each other's arms, and Remna gently stroked Amarla's breasts as she looked up at the half-mermaid lovingly.
You know,
Remna chuckled,
I've made a lot of odd decisions over the years. This one, though? This one is probably the best thing I've ever done. I told you,
Mariah said with a longing sigh.
Becoming a part of Lord Evan's harem is life-changing. Oh, I hope we can do this again,
the dark-haired spirit purred.
Many times, and with many other partners. I bet Aliona would love you,
Mariah continued.
She's always eager to please Lord Evan, and in any way possible.
The four of us moved up so we were closer to the top of the bed, and then we cuddled up close. The three women's bodies were all warm and soothing as they pressed up against me, and I let out a satisfied sigh as I stared up at the ceiling.
I wonder if I'll give you a baby,
Amarla pondered aloud.
Like Aliona will.
Probably, I admitted. We've made love a few times now, and I know my seed is pretty damn strong. Hell, I'm surprised more of my women aren't with child.
They might be,
Mariah chuckled.
Just because Aliona is the only one that's showing doesn't mean the others aren't in their early stages. You are the Black Dragon, Evan. You can impregnate any female in this world if you so desire.
Even you two? I asked the spirits.
Well,
not us.
My sword spirit sighed.
Though we can certainly have a lot of fun trying.
You can thank our creators for that.
Remna grumbled.
Though I'm sure if they created this enchantment, then they could just as easily reverse it as well.
Now that was an idea worth pursuing. If the Iudices, the spirits who had originally created the spirits that reside inside the noble swords, could somehow be convinced to reverse their rule about spirits and humans fostering children, then I could finally give these women what they deserved. Plus, the child of an almighty spirit and a black dragon would be practically unstoppable. As I thought these happy thoughts, my eyes started to grow heavy, and I slowly drifted off to sleep. I finally woke up when I heard the sound of knocking on my door, which pulled me back to reality. As I sat up and rubbed my eyes, I noticed Remna and Mariah were both gone, which I assumed meant they had returned to their homes in our swords. Imarla stirred softly as I got up, but then she quickly laid her head back down on the bed and passed out. Meanwhile, I tossed on my pants, walked over to the door of my bedroom, and slowly opened it up. There, on the other side, stood Naomi. The lizard demi-human wore a simple maroon robe that complemented her equally magenta hair, as well as a smile on her narrow face. The scar Naomi had gotten from her brother was still present, though nowadays she had learned to wear it as a symbol of pride, to remind us all she had survived terrible things in the past, and still endured.
I hope I'm not interrupting anything.
Naomi giggled as she smiled, and then her eyes glanced down at my bare chest.
Just sleeping, I said through a yawn. Ugh.
What time is it?
No idea,
the mage admitted with a shrug.
Aliona just sent me to get you. We found something, Lord Evan. Something big.
What is it? I gulped as my heart skipped a beat. Something about the breach?
You could say that,
Naomi mused.
We believe we've found a way to close the breach. For good.